Imagine with me for a moment. You were told that in 24 hours, you will never be able to see again. What would you do? I would go see my grandchildren and my children with my wife and spend as much time with them as I possibly could. I would study the expressions on each of my grandchildren's faces so that I would be able to recall them. I would spend as much time with my children to be reminded of how beautiful their smiles are. And I would spend every moment doing this with my wife at my side to see her expression when all this is happening. I want to know how Debbie looks when she is happy and filled with joy. Now imagine that you lost your ability to see right now. What would you miss the most? I would miss my children's smiles. I would miss seeing the expressions and happiness of joy in their faces. I would miss seeing the expressions of my grandchildren's faces, each one of them individually. I would miss seeing my wife's beautiful smile. I hope you spent a little time thinking about this for yourselves. What came to your mind? Something alarmed me about what didn't come to my mind, what I didn't miss. Would I miss reading the Word of God? I hope that when we think about these questions, we realize where our treasure is, and that we might be reproofed and corrected about who our treasure is and who completely satisfies. Jesus is our treasure, and Jesus completely satisfied God's wrath. And we have inherited all the riches and glory because we are joint heirs with Christ. Not because what we did, but because what he did. We're going to study from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. The main idea is from chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A little bit about Paul first. The apostle Paul was temporarily lost his ability to see. He was blinded by a bright light. You can read this in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, in verses 3 through 5. As Saul was approaching Damascus, suddenly a light came from heaven, flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." In fact, after church today, I would encourage all of you to read Acts chapter 9. Read it for yourself. Did God remove the scales from Paul's eyes? After the scales were removed from his eyes, this religious man's eyes, what did Paul do? Paul got up and got baptized. God gave Paul sight and a new life in Jesus. Now I would like you to make these questions more personal. Did God remove the scales from your eyes so that you can see? God did come to make the blind see. Did you get up and get baptized? Paul didn't do anything to become a Christian. He believed in the transforming power of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he got baptized. Saul was in an elite group of studiers. He studied the scriptures. Hard to believe that a person who studied the scriptures would be so determined to persecute the church of Christ. Saul persecuted Christians. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul was called to be a follower of Christ. He was appointed to be a preacher. and an apostle and a teacher of sound doctrine. Timothy, however, was taught faith at a young age by his grandmother and his mother. Both Paul and Timothy became ambassadors of Christ in very different ways. Yet they were both called to faith. They were both called to proclaim the Word of God. They were called to teach the Scriptures to other men and women of God, to reproof, to correct, and to train in righteousness other men and women of God so that they would be thoroughly equipped for the good work that God has predestined for them to do. And then other people were told to do the same thing all over again, to teach the Scriptures to a Pastor Ryan and a Pastor Mike so that they can train other people. They can train Green Pond Bible Chapel and Highlands so that we can be thoroughly equipped, so that we can be thoroughly equipped to do the good work that God has created us to do. Chapter 2, verse 1, Paul tells Timothy, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Paul addressed Timothy as a son because Paul had been teaching and training Timothy in righteousness. Paul had been mentoring Timothy in the Scriptures in sound doctrine for such a time as this. And this is also what we desire to do at Highlands. This is our town. This is God's work that He predestined for us to do. Verse 2, Paul says to Timothy, "The things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others too." Timothy is being charged to entrust this sound doctrine to other men. Verse 4 is an outstanding verse. Listen carefully. "No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life. Why? So that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are soldiers, and your desire is to please your master. As followers of Christ, you are to please the one who has called you. You are to please the one who enlisted you. Paul reminds Timothy to solemnly charge the workers in the presence of God, not to wrangle with words which are useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Paul reminds Timothy to solemnly charge the workers to be diligent, to present themselves approved to God as workmen who do not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Chapter 3, Paul reminds Timothy that in the last days, difficult times will come. What's going to happen in these last days? Verses 2 through 5 states clearly what is going to happen. "For men will be lovers of self. They will be lovers of money. They will be boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful. They will be unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. They will be malicious gossips without self-control. They will be brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, and conceited. These men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. These men will be holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men." Verses 14 and 15, You, however, continue in the things you have learned and became convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. From childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. This is precisely what our Sunday school teachers are teaching your children. Kim and Josh Bennett and Alyssa and Steve Myron, and all the other teachers and helpers, they are teaching your children the sacred scriptures, which are able to give your children wisdom that leads to salvation through Jesus Christ. Ask your children what they're learning. Would you agree that this is indeed a good work from God for us to do? I have purposely, briefly summarized the first three chapters of 2 Timothy. The reason why I did this is because all scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 states this very clearly. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness the man of God, so that he will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. Why did I choose this scripture, and why is this scripture so important? I chose this scripture because it changed my life. When I started really studying scripture and really soaking it in, this is when good, meaning, caring, loving people questioned the accuracy of scripture and would ask me, how can I be so sure I am interpreting the word of God correctly? How can I count on its accuracy after so many translations and after so many years after his death and resurrection? I really believed that the Holy Bible was God's truth. However, these verses confirmed it to me in breadth and in depth. All scripture is God-breathed. It is inspired by God. It doesn't say some scripture. It doesn't say only the scripture you like. It says all scripture is inspired by God. Since all scripture is breathed, it demands a response from you. Scripture will not return void. It will accomplish what it was set out to accomplish. Scripture will reconcile you to our Heavenly Father, or scripture will reveal that you are condemned to hell by a holy God. What is your response to God and God's redemptive plan? Since all scripture is useful for teaching, it demands a response from you to believe or not to believe. If you respond by believing, and I encourage you to believe God's word is true, all of it, and I encourage you to read God's word often and soak in sound doctrine, by God's grace, his truth will set you free. One of many things that will set you free from is false teaching. It will not be easy. It will rebuke you. It will correct you. And it will train you to be equipped. You will be thoroughly equipped to have discernment, to recognize false teaching, and this discernment that God reveals to you will be used to help set other people free. All scripture is useful to teach you truth. Since all scripture teaches you truth, it is useful for rebuke. You say, what? Why would I want to be rebuked? You're right. In the hands of man, rebuke can be a harsh word. I looked up the word. You find words like reprimand, scolding, reproofed, admonished. I think I'll stick with rebuke. Let me tell you why you need to be rebuked by God and his word. First of all, God is perfect, and he knows all things. It is a perfect rebuke by a perfect God who knows all things and knows man's heart is wicked. The Bible tells us about our heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, the scripture says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? In another translation, it says, the heart is beyond cure. Who can trust it? Therefore, our hearts need to be rebuked. When I was 23 years old, I had already gained so much knowledge from my family, from work, from school, from college, from the culture, from church, or from religion. I say religion because Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was a religious leader. In fact, he was elite in his knowledge. I was not in the class of elite, but I did have 23 years of knowledge from the things that I mentioned. Some of it might have been inspired by God, but most of it was not. Scripture is useful for reproof. It is also profitable for correction. In other words, it doesn't just wipe your mind clear or clean from false teaching. It exposes false doctrine. The scripture reveals truth to us, truth that transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ by first setting us free from our bondage to sin and death. Scripture demonstrates to us that Jesus loved us first. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came down to restore our broken relationship with our Heavenly Father. As we read the scriptures, we are humbled by the love of the Father and His Son Jesus. How could we not respond in love and adoration for Jesus? Because of the love of God and His living word, we are rebuked and corrected. We are given faith to believe and respond to God's truth, which changes us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. All scripture is useful for rebuke and correction. I believed, I trusted, and I responded to truth. I responded to the scripture's rebuke of incorrect learning from incorrect teaching. I responded to a correct understanding of sound doctrine. Now I am being trained in righteousness, and I continue to be trained in the truth. Every year since October 3rd, 1983, this is the date that I was born again, 36 years ago, I have been a follower of Jesus Christ. And I have continually been taught, I've been continually been reproofed and corrected and trained in righteousness. Do you know why these two verses mean so much to me as they did 36 years ago? Because they are as true as they were then, they are true today. We have the scriptures to be trained in righteousness, to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you know why you're being trained in righteousness? Because you are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ from one degree of glory to another. You don't want to be conformed to this world. If you do nothing at all, you will be conformed to the culture by the culture. If you don't do anything at all, you will be conformed to the thinking of this sin-filled world. As a child of the King, and that is who you are, your desire should be transformation, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the God-breathed, inspired word. Trained in righteousness to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Some of you say you have no testimony. You misunderstand the scriptures. Start here in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Be taught, be trained, be rebuked, be corrected by a perfect God, by His word, His perfect word. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind into the image of Jesus Christ. Be trained in righteousness to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As it says in another portion of Scripture, Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. From the very beginning of time, God prepared a work for Mike Rule to do, even before he was thinking about being a pastor. God called Mike out of the corporate world and out of being a professional musician for this good work here at Highlands. God prepared a good work for Lenny and Doreen Baxter to do. My brother's place, before it even existed, Lenny and Doreen would respond to God's prompting to do good work, to do God's good work, to be responsible for my brother's place representing Christ. God prepared a church to be established here at Highlands and a work to be done here before Pastor Ryan or Pastor Mike became pastors. As God's children, God has a work for all of you to do. It is a good work. It is a perfect work that he has predestined in advance for you to do right here in Highlands. I urge you to find out what it is, because it's a good work, a perfect work designed just for you. In chapter 4, God gave Paul and Timothy good work to do. And here at Highlands, God has a good work for each of us to do. Brothers and sisters, I urge you, think about, be clear-headed in all these things. Be prepared to endure hardship if it comes. Do the work of an evangelist with the opportunity, when the opportunity is yours, in season and out of season. Fulfill your ministry, the work that God prepared in advance for you to do. The good, perfect work here at Highlands Bible Church. If you are being called to do translation work, ask God if this is his ordained work for you to do. Work with First Choice Ministry, volunteer and do it. My brother's place needs good help. They need trained counselors. Be trained to be a counselor. If you are being called to be a pastor, don't wait. Talk to us and allow us to pray for God's ordained leading in your life and for you to respond. If you desire some experience as an associate pastor and be sent to another church to start a church plant, then listen to God's calling now. If you aspire to be an elder, be trained to be an elder. If you're thinking about being trained in biblical counseling, there are excellent resources to be trained in biblical counseling. Do it. By the way, you are all being trained to be biblical counselors by the Word of God. If you are a husband of a good wife, be trained to be a godly leader and lead your household. This is the best way to love your wife and your family. Be trained in righteousness. Be trained in the Word of God. There is no better place to be than doing the Lord's work in the center of His will. May God bless the proclamation of His Word. May He impart His supernatural favor in the minds as the Spirit of God has His way in you. Remember, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is inspired by God. All Scripture is profitable. It is useful for teaching. Remember, all Scripture was when taught with gentleness and great patience and instruction, it is useful for rebuke and correction. And all Scripture is useful for training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Please pray along with me. Agree with me, brothers and sisters, that our desire would be for God, by the power of the Holy Spirit's rebuke and correction, that He would have His way with us. That we would be changed people because we were prayed for before this sermon, and that the Holy Spirit pierced our hearts to change our way of thinking, to change our way of going through life, to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of the minds. Not to submit to our hearts. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately sick, and they can't be trusted. Have your way, Lord, and rebuke and correct us so we can direct our hearts into submission of God's holy, sacred scriptures. As the Spirit of God is our advocate and Christ our intercessor, they recognize when we don't know what to pray. They intercede for us with groanings too deep for words. And they search our hearts and intercede for us according to the will of God. Please intercede for us as our advocate and be effective so that we do change our ways to be transformed to your will. Holy Spirit, please convict us and give us faith to be your ambassadors of reconciliation, and please have your way in us. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.